Good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey, alongside with Matt Gorder. Brent Barnett's over to our left here, our sideline reporter for our Bearcat football on Saturday afternoons. Got a good show lined up for you tonight. We'll be talking basketball with Northwest Missouri State men's basketball coach Ben McCullum. Also, senior basketball player Grant Kozad. I'll talk cross country this evening with Scott Lork. We also have Northwest defensive back Travis Manning on end. Talk some Bearcat football. And we've got some comments recorded with Adam Dorrell, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, as well as AD and the coaching staff getting ready for a big matchup on Saturday as the opening round of the NCAA Division II playoffs are coming up as Northwest travels up to Duluth to face Minnesota Duluth. Gordon, it should be a lot of fun coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, I tell you, when you look at a matchup with Duluth, it doesn't seem like all that long ago. We were talking about how it's nice to play an unfamiliar opponent in the playoffs, see somebody new across the ball, but almost feels like they're an annual opponent anymore with both teams making the playoffs so often in recent years and obviously matching up against each other in a lot of those playoffs. So a little bit more familiar of an opponent than it was just a few years ago.
Yeah, developing a kind of a nice rivalry with Duluth.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, you've got two very quality football programs that have a lot of good athletes, play some hard-nosed football, and I think we'll see that again this weekend.
And basketball is coming up this weekend. The women's team will be home as they host the Winstead-Reeves Classic. They open up with William Jewell tomorrow evening. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off over at Bearcat Arena. The men face William Jewell tomorrow at 5. We'll have both of those on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Radio Network. And it really amounts to a doubleheader with William Jewell, but two different sites for the games.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't always play out like that, but, you know, both teams we've seen separate for those classics, tournaments, whatever you want to call them in recent years, but good chance to get to see some good competition again this weekend.
A reminder that support for the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body, screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For dine-in or carry-out, more information at 660-582-2699. As always, our thanks to Carson, Renee, and the waitstaff here at Carson's for the work they do during our KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll talk football. Travis Manning's on hand, defensive back for the Bearcats, and Travis will be joining us. Well, I'll talk with Travis right after this timeout on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late-night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family-owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show as we turn our attention to football, now playoff football. Travis Manning, a cornerback for Northwest Missouri State, joining us. Travis, obviously you guys getting started this weekend with the playoffs. Does it feel a little bit different prepping for a playoff game than it does for, say, a regular season game?
Well, to be completely honest with you on that one, it's a little more exciting with the playoffs, you know what I mean? It means a little bit more, but we take every week the same as far as preparation goes, as far as we plan for every team with the same amount of preparation. I wouldn't say we overemphasize any other team. It's just that week is focused on that team and prepare as well as we can for that team just 1 week at a time.
What was last week like finding out just a couple of days before the game that you'd be playing in a different spot? Did that change anything or make it feel a little bit different having a venue change that close to a ball game?
To be completely honest with you, it really didn't affect me much at all. I was actually somewhat excited to have pretty much another senior day here at Bearcat Stadium. I love playing here at Bearcat Stadium, and obviously the NFL being used a nice atmosphere as well, but nothing like playing at home and Bearcat Stadium. I've been at Arrowhead enough, to be honest with you. I was happy to be right here at home.
Yeah, well, obviously the weather was a little bit of a factor with the snow and stuff, but I assume you probably played in some weather in high school at times, and it wasn't a big factor for you?
I've never played in snow like that because that was a lot of snow. It was a lot, but we loved it, though. It was awesome, you know. I can finally say now I've played in snow, you know what I mean? Prior to this last week, I couldn't say that. And we came out successful in my double-A champs with the snow, so it's awesome. The pictures look great, too.
What were some of the challenges that snow provided for you guys? Because, I mean, you got to make some cuts and some quick decisions. Yeah. So what sort of challenges did you have last week?
Yeah, it was interesting. Before every snap, I was kind of like clearing off my space so I could break. But it was challenging on them as well, you know what I mean? I'm not going to say it played a factor that much because it affected both of us, I feel like, the same way. I had to backpedal in it, but they had to cut in it as well. So coach always says IAO, improvise, adapt, and overcome. So we IAO became successful.
Did it maybe take them a little longer to run routes since they had to maybe slow up before making a cut?
Yeah, it really did. I feel like we were both just kind of a step slow, obviously, with the snow. I mean, again, it was a lot of snow out there. Like, I remember coming out for the game, and I was like, are we about to play, or is it going to be delayed? Do they have to? I remember coming out, they had the tow trucks. We had to move and stretch on the opposite side of the field. Coach T coming out, hey, guys, come over here. But it was a good time.
That's what college is all about, though, right? The experiences like that.
Oh, yeah, making memories. Like I said, now I can tell all my kids. Back in 2014, MIAA championship game.
We talk a lot about preparation. With you, when you're watching film, what are some of the things specifically you're looking for when you're preparing for a team?
Oh, as far as watching film goes, I like to really, like, they have a pretty good receiver here at Duluth, number 88. He's not a bad guy, and I just really watch how he lines up as far as the splits, you know what I mean? Because splits tell you a lot as far as if he's on the ball, off the ball, how close he is to the line of scrimmage, things like that. And any cues, like certain formations, if they hit anything out of this alignment, just little things like that just give me that competitive advantage. And obviously how they run the routes, you know what I mean? Like, are they good out of breaks or are they bad out of breaks? Do they catch the ball well? Do they not catch the ball well? What gives them problems? Getting hands on them, you know what I mean? Playing off, showing different looks, things like that.
So you feel, I would guess then, with all that preparation, fairly comfortable at the snap that you've got a pretty good idea what the guy in front of you is most likely going to do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just want to stress and emphasize the fact that our coach is just, as far as preparation, when we go out there, we are ready. We are prepared. I feel like that's really what separates us from the rest of the conference and the rest of the nation. Like, our coaches are great. We have great coaches, prepare for every game. Like I say, if something happens in a game, that it's on me. Because our coaches, we're going to be prepared for it. We just got to go out there and make the plays. I can honestly say that I've never gone in a game like, I don't know where they're running. I'm not confused. It's almost like it's almost easier in the game just because we prepare so much for it at practice.
And I was going to ask that, doing the work during the week, does it make it more fun to play on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, this is not doing the work during the week. It was what we were doing in the off season when everybody else was at home. We had over 100 guys here at Grand Northwest for the off season, and I don't know if you guys know Joe Quillen, our strength and conditioning coach, but, I mean, he has us out there working. We're running hills with partner care. I mean, all types of stuff. You name it, we've probably done it. And, I mean, just that summer that we have as far as bonding with those workouts just makes our relationship as teammates as well, building that camaraderie. And then when the season comes, it's almost easy on us because we've worked so hard in the summer and, again, that week of preparation. So, come game time, it's just great to be out there.
Well, we've obviously seen how important it is to have so many guys in the offseason stay. Last several years, that's happened. What is it that gets you guys to want to be here, want to stay over the summer and get that work in?
Honestly, it's just that our coaches do a great job of just really getting us bought into the system. We have something here that's very special, you know what I mean? It's not by coincidence that we're good year in and year out. It's because the coaches get us bought into what they were doing, and the fact that we're bought in, we want to stay, we want to get better, you know what I mean? And that's why everybody stays. We're bought into our coaches and what they have as far as plans for us.
We've talked a lot about the importance of the team. Obviously, you guys have a front seven that is just tremendous. What does it mean to you as a defensive back when you've got a front seven that'll take care of the run, take care of all that sort of stuff, and let you do your job? What does that mean for you guys?
Honestly, like, it's just a blessing. It's a blessing to have those seven guys on that field every game because, like you said, they take care of the run. So as far as preparation goes, we had to stop one thing and one thing only. Those are the receivers, and that's as far as the receiving guards, because we know our front seven is going to take care of the quarterback, is going to take care of the running back. We don't have to worry about what's going on there. Just make sure we do our 111s and take care of the secondary as far as the receivers goes, and we'll be successful.
When you talk about route running, is every receiver have its own particular way of, I mean, you see the same route a lot of times, but do they each kind of have their own way of running a particular route?
Oh, definitely. I would definitely say as far as receivers and the route running, you could just tell by their, like, I don't want to get too much away, but yes, they definitely have their own style of route running. Just in the past, like, I know the guy from Fort Hays, he liked to kind of jog off the line and then just sprint, you know what I mean? Almost like a double move look. And you got some receivers that just run hard. You got some receivers that really don't even cut. They just run and don't give you a move first. You got some receivers that'll send you out around and come in left. It just all depends on the receiver, but they definitely do show different looks as far as route running.
Now, you mentioned that they've got a good receiver, Duluth, a team that likes to run the football a lot. For a secondary, man, when you're going against a team that primarily runs, what do you do to keep focused to make sure? Because obviously the pass can come at any time.
Right.
How do you keep focused to make sure you're ready when they do finally put the ball in the air?
Honestly, with a front seven like ours, my mindset, I'm thinking they're not going to be able to run the ball. So I have to be at all times ready for the pass. And that's why, as far as this week as preparation, I probably put an extra hour on film just because it was playoffs, you know what I mean? Just to know that the fact that they want to run the ball, but good luck, because we have one of the best front sevens. And that's not me being cocky at all. That's just me being confident in our front seven. Like, hands down, we got some great guys up front. So I'm not going to say it's our weakness, but other teams figure, well, we can't run the ball, so we got to pass it. So as far as our secondary goes, we got to be just on it that much more each week and just to prove ourselves that much more as a secondary and stop the pass as well.
Well, Travis, so far so good. I know you guys have hopefully several more weeks left of work to do. Good luck in the playoffs.
All right, I appreciate that.
That is Travis Manning, a cornerback for Northwest Missouri State. Again, the playoffs begin Saturday in Duluth, Minnesota, and we'll continue to talk football when we come back. We'll hear from the head coach of the Northwest football team, Adam Dorrell. We'll do it right after this. You're listening to The Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at CarpetPlus.com.
We're back and we're talking with head football coach at Northwest Missouri State, Adam Dorrell, on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. And AD, I know it's a busy time for you getting ready to head up to Duluth, Minnesota for the big matchup this weekend. And just kind of talk about the week that you've had so far as you gear up for this Saturday's game.
Well, we've had a great week. Our preparation's been really good. You know, I just feel like our kids are in a really good place mentally right now. I feel like they're locked in. They understand that the opponent we're playing is a physical, tough football team. They're undefeated. You know, we've been able to embrace that underdog role this week, and it feels good. You know, I'm not going to lie, it does. It feels good to be the higher seed for once. And so I think our kids have handled that in a real positive way. you know, it just we're ready to get on that plane and get up there and get going.
Just talk about the region. It seems like it's one of the toughest regions in NCAA Division II. We may be a little bit prejudiced there, but when you look at the where the teams have gone all season long and the type of national rankings that they've had, looks like that you're in the middle of a very tough region.
Yeah, we are, John, and you know I'm really appreciative of the fact that I'm in the playoffs. You know, there's teams that were 10-1 in this region that got left out of the national playoffs, and people have a hard time wrapping your head around that. But if you think about teams that lost two games, that are winning 80% of their games, and not making the national playoffs, I mean, it's tough. And so, you know, I just hope people appreciate. I know I do. I think our kids do appreciate how hard it was to make the playoffs this year, and it's going to continue to be like that with the region the way it is. So, you know, hopefully I know the NCAA has potentially talked about doing some different things, expanding the national playoffs, and, you know, I'd certainly be in favor of that. I think it would help our region and potentially help our league. But just a real tough region right now, the flip side of that is if you can somehow win this region, and, you know, you got to win a game, but whoever can win this region, I think, is going to have a good chance to potentially move on.
Well, you look at your program as well as the Minnesota Duluth program, a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, there is. Coaching staffs have all been involved at young ages in the program as players, as GAs, as assistant coaches. I think the similar styles of football, try to be tough, physical, run the football, play great defense, and be real sound on special teams. So, yeah, there's a lot of similarities.
What are some of the differences that you see between the two programs?
Oh, probably just a little things on offense. I think we both like to run the football, and they're probably more of an outside zone team where we're more as a power team. Both teams like to play action. And then flip it over on defense, we base out of a 40 front, and they base out of a 30 front. But other than that, a lot of more similarities than there are differences.
All right, and as far as the matchup, what do you see some of the big keys to this matchup on Saturday?
Well, the turnover battle is going to be huge. You know, they've only turned it over 6 times all year, and I've just really tried to stress that to our kids. Win the turnover battle. I think it's important this time of year that you play to win. And you be smart, but you play to win. You got to be aggressive, and you got to just keep focusing on the next play. I think that's going to be important. I think special teams will be huge today. You know, they've recovered 3 onside kicks on the year. They've converted 4 fake punts, and they've gone for 14 two-point conversions somewhere in there. So, you know, we've got to be ready in those special situations and react when they do stuff like that.
How much fun is it to be playing in the playoffs?
It's, you know, it's a great feeling, John, and it's you know, it feels great. I mean, it's not easy to get here, and I just think sometimes people forget that, and it's just not easy to get to where we're at. And so, you know, I'm proud of our kids and our coaching staff, you know, for battling and being able to make the national playoffs. And the great thing is you're here now. There's 24 teams left, and it resets. Everybody's 0-0. Every team left is a really good team. And, you know, if you want to move on, you got to focus on that week. You got to be physical. I think you got to try to stay healthy. But bottom line, you got to make plays. And so we're going to try to make some plays today.
I know, talking with you earlier, you really feel like the team's peaking at the right time.
I do. You know, I feel like that because I feel good about our mentality. I feel like our kids are approaching the week in a great mindset where they're not feeling the pressure. They're trying to stay loose, and, you know, hopefully that'll carry into game day.
All right, well, Coach, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. At every home game, Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Hy-Vee, located on South Main in Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, good to have you with us here this evening.
Good to be here, John.
And a big weekend coming up for you. Head down to St. Joseph, a couple games. First of all, William Jewell on Friday and then Rockhurst on Saturday. But before we talk more about those, opened up the season last weekend, going 1-1. Tough loss on Friday night, but with the Minnesota State Moorhead, but came right back. Good game with Upper Iowa on Saturday. And really both nights, talking with you, felt that there were some good things that came out of both of those games for you.
I thought the first night, I thought we played excellent the first night. Really got after them defensively. I think they shot 34-35% in the first half. And against a team like them, I think they led the NSIC in scoring last season, and then obviously shot a high percentage. So we were able to hold them down quite a bit. And then offensively, we got the shots that we wanted. We've got uncontested layups. We've got wide open threes from our best shooters, and they just wouldn't fall. And about halfway through the game, I kind of realized that we were pretty anxious. And we were pretty anxious throughout the whole week. We didn't really practice well leading up to that first game. And when you have kids that are 18 and 19 years old, freshmen and sophomores, what happens is, they can't focus on more than one thing at once. And they were pretty focused on that game. But, they forgot that, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday were still around. And so I think we addressed that this week and had a little better week. Upper Iowa, we hit the shots we missed against Moorhead, to be honest. There really wasn't much of a difference. I didn't think we played any better, any worse. I thought we just hit shots, and that's kind of important in basketball, I guess.
When you look at the roster you've got for this year, some new players and some young players stepping into some roles. First of all, the name that comes to mind, Justin Fitz. I think fans are really going to enjoy watching Justin for the next 4 years.
Absolutely. He's a very intelligent basketball player, very high IQ. And he's exciting to watch. Defensively, he's excellent. He gets in passing lanes. He gets a lot of steals. He'll just take your ball from you. He's very active. Offensively, he can get by quite a few people. He can make excellent reads as far as getting people the ball. And then he can score a little bit himself. So I think he's going to be a good basketball player for us. But, again, he's got a little ways to go, and a lot like Deshaun's growing pains, I think he'll have some similar ones, but I don't think there'd be anywhere near what Deshaun had for growing pains.
Again, you've got a pretty good core coming back. We'll be talking a little bit later with Grant Kozad, but he's on the way here, so that's good. But besides Grant, Connor Kirker's back, Matt Wallace. You got a pretty good core of guys that have had a lot of success with your program that can kind of show the Bearcat way there for you.
Yeah, and they've stepped up. In particular, I think Connor Kirker, he's been excellent. He's communicated in practice, which he hadn't done in the past. He's focused. He understands what's going on. He's helping teammates out. He's been excellent. And then Matt on the floor, he's as reliable as they get. Once that game rolls around, he's Mr. Reliable. I mean, he'll do everything correct. He'll guard the best player on the other team. Offensively, he'll get the ball where it needs to go. And then Grant, obviously, he's been our most consistent day in and day out. He's been ready to go, brings energy, communicates, does those things that we need him to do. So we do have a good core back. And Justin was here last year, and so was Brett Doherty. So that redshirt thing really helps those kids acclimate themselves, and they played against essentially a Sweet 16 team all season long. So they got better.
Talk about Brett Doherty. Let's kind of change focus just a little bit here. But last week, the early signing period, they announced some players coming into the program as a freshman next year. And one of those is Brett's little brother. And I think that says a lot for the program where you have some family members that want to come into this program. You look at Dylan Starzl, his little brother's part of it now, too, to where apparently they're having a good experience, and the little brothers want to come in and be a part of the program as well.
Yeah, you know, I think it's got to be our players, I would assume. It can't be me. I'm sure it's not that they like me. But, I think that we get good kids. We care about them. We work with them. And then, obviously, they help recruit new kids here. So, in the school itself is an excellent school. There's over whatever, I think around 7,000 students, so that helps recruit new kids. But Tyler's an excellent player. Dre Starzl's been excellent in the preseason, and obviously he's redshirting, so we're excited about them as well.
And let's talk about what Brett can bring to the program here.
Brett, he's more athletic than anybody we've had since I've been here. I think you saw him in the dunk contest go between the legs. I mean, that's unheard of. You know, last year, I think our assistant won our dunk contest. So this year, we've upped our athleticism with just him. And he finishes well. He's a tough kid. He works hard. He's extremely coachable. And he's a freshman, and he's playing a considerable amount of time as a freshman against two teams, one of which they'll be right there to host the region, Moorhead, and then Upper Iowa will be right there for a regional as well. I think he's going to – the sky's the limit for him.
And let's talk about Zach Snyder a little bit. Really looks like he's kind of picked up right where he left off last season.
He has, and then some. I think he's getting a shot off a little quicker. He's taking more shots, which I want him to do. And then defensively, he's always been good. He's getting offensive rebounds. He's taking on a leadership role. When you take on a leadership role like that, though, and you kind of change the dynamic of what you were, where last year he just played off of people. He let the seniors lead, and he followed. This year he's a leader. So there is a little bit more pressure, a little bit more stress associated with that. And so some of the shots that he may have made last year early, he missed a few of those in the first game and even the second game. I think as the season progresses and he gets used to that kind of role, I think you're going to see him flourish even more than he has already.
Yeah, it really seemed like when that first shot went down for him Friday night that you could just kind of tell a little bit of he could relax a little bit at that point and play this type of game.
Well, and him and Connor, you know, when they miss a three, I think Connor was 58% last year and Zach was like 48%, which is ridiculous. When they miss one, it's like the end of the world. It's like if I miss a layup. And they just, it's like, well, you missed a three. It's a long shot. Like, sometimes you're going to miss one. And so then, you know, they've got to kind of refocus. Even last year, it was like those two shot so well, and Connor in particular. If he didn't shoot in practice, he shot 58%. I was like, you need to shoot your percentage down to like 45. You need to shoot more. That's poor coaching on my part. And so, hey, we'd run him in practice if he didn't shoot enough, Connor. You know, I was like, hey, if you're not at 45% by the end of the season, you're going to make me look bad because you don't shoot enough. So we need to shoot that percentage down a little bit.
How often do you have to tell a player to shoot more?
Last year we did quite a bit. I think I benched Deshaun at Washburn. We were down about 15 at half, and he had shot two shots. And I said, I'm going to start this half. He said, Coach, I'm playing well. You know, I'm playing hard. And so I said, well, you have a shot. And so he sat the first 5 minutes, and then I think he had like 25 points in the second half and won the game for us. So it's good coaching there.
Yeah, there you go.
Give the ball to your best player and make him shoot, I guess.
What's some of the main things that came out last weekend? Now you've had a week to lead up to Friday's game down at St. Joseph from William Jill. What are some of the main things after seeing the team on the floor against actual competition that you've been working on this week?
Rebounding. Defensive rebounding, we were number one in the conference the last three seasons. It needs to happen again, and right now we're not rebounding at a very high rate defensively, and that's that's one of the main things that, we like to do. It eliminates easy buckets. You lower people's percentage. Probably not only do they get extra possessions from offensive rebounds, but they get easy shots off of those, which increases their percentage naturally. And so we really want to be the best defensive rebounding team in our conference. And I think last year we were probably pretty close to top 10 in the country defensive rebounding. And so that's one thing that we worked on, slowing the game down once we're in that half court. So we're okay to run. You know, we're fairly quick up and down the floor. But once we get in the half court, now you need to make reads. Now you need to figure out, hey, they're defending us like this. This is how we counter that. I didn't think we did a good job in the first game of that. I thought the second game we calmed down a little bit and did that.
Do you really see the team making some huge strides after getting onto the floor against teams like Moorhead and Upper Iowa to open up the season?
Well, you know, and yeah, Justin Pitts, who played 35 minutes a game, hadn't played in a year, and he's never played a college game. So that he made great strides. You could see from even day one to day two the composure that he had. And then all of our kids just learning how to play off each other. Who are we going to go to down the stretch? Where do we go when we need a bucket throughout the game? Defensively, how are we going to adjust? Who's going to run our huddles? You know, there's so many different things that go into winning. And that's why right now we're still a work in progress where, you know, we're hit or miss. We could beat the number one team in the country, but we could also lose to the worst team in the country just because of our youth and our inexperience. So we've got a long ways to go. Got to continue to progress and continue to gain those experiences.
Yeah, and you opened up with a couple of very good teams. Just kind of talk about the maybe change of philosophy you're seeing with teams opening up the year and the reasons behind that, where you see a lot of good Division II teams kind of go to maybe a weekend like you had last weekend with Upper Iowa and Moorhead, and of course Fort A State was the other team that came in with the foursome there this past weekend. And just kind of talk about reasons why you're seeing more teams play some very good quality competition to start the season.
Well, the first weekend is an exempt tournament, and so we get 26 games each season. If we play in that exempt tournament where we play regional competition, that doesn't count against those 26 games, so we can essentially play 28. So that's why we play that early season tournament. After that, I think the regional criteria is so numbers-based that you absolutely have to play them. It almost seems like it's better to play them and lose than it is to just beat any eyes. So I've actually really, because I was always a believer in scheduling real easy with lots of NAIs early, get your confidence, develop some depth, and then get into the season. Since we've started playing the more difficult schedule, which was 2 years ago, I've loved it. I think it exposes a lot of your weaknesses early. I think it gets you ready for conference. I don't think the losses hurt you as much as I would have thought going into them. I think they help you. I think once you get into conference, now we're battle tested. They've taken things away. We've already seen them switch a ball screen, or we've already seen them trap this area, or we've already seen them defend this kid this way. So we've already countered that in practice. And so then once we get to the games against the competition, there's nothing we haven't seen. And so I really like the tougher schedule that we've been playing lately.
And how much of a factor was that, too, when you look at the way the conference has gone, where it used to be you didn't open up the conference schedule until after the 1st of January, to where you're playing conference games in December already? I think that's another benefit, where you get that type of competition before you get into conference.
Yeah, you know, when you start so early, you need something before that Division II competition that's at a high level to expose some of those things. I don't necessarily like starting the conference that early, but again, that's not really my decision. But I do like having those D2 games before. You know, this year I think we go on the road. I think we either go to Emporia or Pitt first, and that's a tough schedule. But when you've played Moorhead and Upper Iowa, who are probably better than both of those teams, you know, now all of a sudden you're battle tested. Then you're going to go play Jewell and Rockhurst, who are excellent. And then we got Drury after that. You've played five teams that are better, or at least if they're not better, equal to the teams that we're going to go on the road and play.
How does the conference look this season?
No idea. You know, it's so tough because part of the early season basketball is very matchup driven. And so sometimes it could just be, like, for instance, I think the MIAA was very poor against the NSIC. It could just be that the MIAA played, I guess, the matchups were all wrong. It's like the national tournament last year. If Central comes out of our side and plays Winona and then they play Mankato, I don't think Central can beat those two teams. I thought we matched up perfect with those two teams. If we would have matched up with Southern in the first round, I don't know that we could have beat Southern in that first round. And so the matchups in basketball mean so much this early. So to answer your question, I really have no idea how the league's going to be until we go through it.
Again, we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Mets basketball team, Ben McCullum. When we come back, we'll take a look toward this upcoming weekend as Northwest has a couple of games coming up down the road in St. Joseph. Back to talk with Ben about William Jewell and the matchup with Rockhurst after this timeout as the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show continues from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at 1st and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at bittersweetfloral.com or at 582-5700.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're continuing on with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCullum. And again, Ben, a couple of good matchups coming up this weekend down in St. Joseph as part of the Hillier Classic. You can play at 5 o'clock both nights and open up with William Jewell, a team that has made the transition from NAIA to Division II NCAA. And just kind of talk about some of the things you're looking for out of William Jewell this weekend.
Well, you know, it's tough to tell. They played Missouri, and so, you know, you really don't get a whole lot out of that game. And then they played Living the Dream, which, again, those are difficult games to get a whole lot out of. I guess my expectations for them, in the past, they've been an excellent shooting team, and they really try to play fast, try to penetrate and pitch, and get open threes, drive and kick threes. It seems like this year, they're excellent inside. They've got two bigs that are as good as anybody in our conference. They've got enough guards to be able to shoot it and get it to them. They're going to be very difficult to compete against, and they offensive rebound well. And that right now seems to be one of our weaknesses is defensive rebounding. So, you know, we expect a well-coached team. You know, we expect a battle, and we expect a 40-minute game. You know, that's generally what it is against Jewell.
Then after that, you've got Rockhurst on Saturday. And Rockhurst is a team that's had a lot of success the last decade or so. I know I remember a game down at Oklahoma at Tahlequah, Northwest, and Rockhurst squared off in the championship of the South Central Region a number of years ago. But they're a program that's has a lot of tradition that backs them up some, too.
Absolutely, yeah, and I was at that game too, John.
Yeah,
Rockhurst, 6'5 across the board, literally. They play 4-4 men. They don't really have a true five, but they don't really have any guards. They just kind of, and their guards are like numbered like 54. You know, they bring a 6-foot guard off the bench, and it's you know, it's number 52 or something like that. And so, you know, they're kind of. they're a strange team. They're going to crash the offensive glass, and they're going to try to pound you inside. Defensively, right now, they haven't guarded well. They haven't defended well, but I'm guessing they'll probably play us some zone. But I don't know. They might look at our shooting stats and say that's probably not a good decision. But, you know, I don't know really what to expect. The good thing about them is we get to see them against Western first. I think the schedule sets up perfect for us where we've got Jewel first, who we're kind of familiar with, and they're going to be a little more structured. And then we've got Rockhurst second, who's going to be a little less structured. We're not as familiar with that.
Do they cause any type of matchup problems with what that type of lineup?
Jewel or Rockhurst?
Rockhurst, sir.
I don't know. Kind of. I guess we play pretty small, so maybe they post up a 6-foot guy. But if you try to expose mismatches, I've always found that open shots are worse than mismatches. So. We mismatches to us. We make up for it. We'll double the post if needs be. We'll fight in the post. But again, you can't stretch us out with their shooting because they don't shoot it overly well. So, you know, you can front the post and then obviously come from the backside and take away that lob. So I don't see a lot of issues. I think they're going to be more mismatched defending us than we are them.
And how much of it, especially at this time of year, is to just go out and do what you do and just hope that that's better than the other team?
I think it's a lot of that. I think there's some scouting things, though, especially early in the season, that you can take away as long as it's within what you do, meaning some personnel things. Hey, this guy likes to go left. This guy likes to go right. Shooter, stay home. Here's how he gets a shot. Maybe adjust the ball screen coverage, something like that. I think there's a lot of that that goes on, but as long as you don't completely change and go off the deep end, I think you'll be fine. We don't do that. You know, we play man-to-man. I think we played, two possessions of zone, and we won both those games. We were down 21 in both of them. We're pretty basic in what we do. We may just adjust and tweak things within the scouting things.
All right, again, we've got Grant Kozak coming up here in just a little bit. Talk a little bit about Grant and tell us something about Grant that people may not know.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot that you don't know. He's from Kearney. He redshirted a year. It's his fifth year. He's kind of stepped up as a consistent leader this season. What you don't know about him, I have no idea. He works for Scott Nielsen. I had to give him a shout-out right there. And I don't know if he does any work up there, but I just see him on the computer on Facebook and Twitter. No, I'm just kidding, Scott. But, he's been awesome for us, been our most consistent kid in the preseason and has had to step up, you know. And in the past, even in high school, he's always had kids that were really good leaders alongside him. Now he doesn't have that. And so he's had to do those things, and he's done an excellent job of doing that.
All right. Well, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us here tonight.
Thank you, John.
Okay, and that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. When we come back, we'll continue to talk men's basketball as Grant Kozad will join us, the senior center for the Cats. That's coming up as the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show continues from downtown Maryville and Carson Sports Grill. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at carpetplus.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at BittersweetFloral.com or at 582-5700. Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's game comes from Southpaw's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. Southpaw's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show, joined now by senior for Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Grant Kozad. And Grant, good to have you with us here this evening.
Thanks for having me.
And let's kind of talk about coming in your senior season here and kind of the last of the Kearney guys in that you've been playing with throughout, I guess, grade school on. But does it feel a little bit different not having some of those guys out there on the floor with you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it feels a little less familiar for me. I mean, I've been playing with them since I can remember in high school. So, yeah, that chemistry, it's kind of with Tyler and Dylan. It's kind of changed a little bit, but, I mean, we still have – I've played with Connor and Zach, so, I mean, they're just filling it right back in. And, obviously, Dre's here, so he's carrying on the Kearney tradition for us. So that's nice for him to do.
And talk about this season. You know, again, you're coming off a great year last year, but, again, kind of a leadership role this year a little bit more so. And just kind of talk about some of the things you're trying to do to help the new players come in and learn the Bearcat way here a bit.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had five great seniors, and including Matt and I, we were with that class, and we're trying to carry on what they left behind. We're trying to be more vocal leaders, and showing the Bearcat culture and just hard work and effort. And I feel like Matt and I, we've shown that this preseason, and we've been through five of them, so we kind of knew what to expect. But this year was a little tougher from Coach McCollum. He really wanted to test all the new guys and see what we had and see how hard we wanted to work. So that's one. And me and Matt, we were just trying to push the guys, talk a lot, and just try and boost our communication, because that's what we're about, a lot of talk and a lot of effort.
And just from your standpoint this season, what type of goals do you have for you?
Our goals are high. I mean, even though we're a new team, we're still aiming for that conference championship like every year. And we want to make it back to the tournament. And we want to do big things this year, even though we got a talented new group, but I feel like we can make it just as far as we did last year.
Yeah, and when you look at the players that are stepping in now, some of the younger players, we talked with Ben about Justin Pitts there at the point guard. He's got some big shoes to fill, taking over essentially a Deshaun Cooper spot, but looks like he's going to bring a lot to the floor each and every game.
Absolutely. Pitts, I mean, he's just a freshman, and obviously, Cooper's a great guard. I mean, he was spectacular. But Pitts has got so much room for potential. He can go as high as he wants to go. He's got everything it needs at the point guard position to do. So, I mean, it's just on him if how far he wants to take it and just if he wants to fill those shoes that Coop left him.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about coming to Northwest. Obviously, there's a group of you came in together from Kearney, but what are some of the main reasons you wanted to attend Northwest, and just kind of talk about your career up to this point and some of the highlights that you've had?
I mean, when I came up here, it felt like home. Maryville felt kind of like Kearney, and I mean, that same aspect of a small town, you know. As far as basketball goes, I love the coaching staff. They were young, and they just knew how to associate with us and bring out the best in us, too. And they like to have fun. So that was a big part of that. And then, obviously, Dylan and Tyler obviously came. I mean, it wasn't really one of the factors. We kind of all just separately came at a different time. We never really talked to come up here. But it kind of ended up working out for us, and we loved it the 4 years that we were all together. So that was a great time, and I feel like this last year is going to be kind of bittersweet to end the career in Maryville.
All right, and as far as the future holds, what's maybe talk academically your major and what are you looking for after graduation?
Well, I heard Coach McCollum said I was looking for Scott Nielsen up in the athletic department, so I'm trying to stay towards the sports aspect, the athletic side. My major's in marketing, and I have a sport management minor. So I'm trying to aim towards getting a job with, like, Sporting Kansas City or maybe the Royals in the marketing or just the athletic team. I just want to stay around the sports. It's what I like to be around, what I love to do. So I think that'd be a That'd be a great direction for me.
All right. Well, Grant, thanks a lot for being with us here this evening.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now it's Grant Cozad, a senior men's basketball player at Northwest Missouri State. We'll come back and talk cross-country as Scott Lorick joins us. They've got a big meet coming up this weekend. We'll be back with Scott right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. At every home game, Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Hy-Vee located on South Main in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Today's game is being underwritten by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show. As John mentioned, now talking cross-country as Northwest cross-country coach Scott Lorick joins us. Coach, we get to more of a regional aspect coming up this weekend with the regional meet. You guys have had a little bit of time off. How does everybody feel getting ready for this weekend?
Oh, great. Yeah, we're really looking forward to this weekend. It's, you know, one of the, this and the conference meet are the two things that we shoot for from, you know, all year. So, yeah, we're excited. We're ready to go.
The time between meets, is that something that for runners plays out well? It's been a couple of weeks. Does that play out as a good amount of time between meets and competitions?
It's good. I think that's pretty optimal to have 2 weeks in between. So we had actually tapered quite a bit before the conference meet, so we got to have a week kind of up. So last week was actually a little harder week than a lot of times, and this week we got back down to resting. So yeah, it was enough time to do all that.
Obviously, fall sports, when you're still competing at this time, you start to deal with the cold weather. What are some challenges or issues you deal with cold weather in cross country?
Well, you know, the funny thing this year is it just went so suddenly. Usually we got more of a gradual kind of break-in, but we went from shorts and t-shirts to, you know, full sweats in, you know, 24 hours. So, but it's good. I think the big thing for any team is going to be the weather this weekend. I know I've talked to some other coaches in like the west regions in Billings, Montana, and that's going to be kind of a mess. And we're going up to Wayne, and they've had 5 inches of snow, and then it's going to warm up. So I think we're going to have the first race going to be in snow, and the second race is going to be in mud.
What are some of the concerns with snow on the ground when you're running in cross country?
There's not really concerns. We just put in really big spikes, and you know, away we go. But it's more of a, you know, it's more of a mental thing. I know there'd be some teams that kind of aren't really used to this, and some athletes that, you know, are going to struggle with it a bit more mentally. But you know, our kids are just goofy enough; they think it's all going to be fun. So let's just go.
It's maybe in some spots a little tougher to tell exactly what the terrain is like. Maybe under the snow, is that anything that could ever cause an issue? Or
it can be. I don't think it won't be in like a regional meet, but you know, if some other meets during the year, that's true, because this regional meet's going to be on a golf course, so you know, footing is going to be good. We don't have to worry about that. But absolutely, there's meets, and even, you know, before this, when you get a lot of leaves covering the ground too,
yeah.
I mean, you may go over roots or holes or something, and you don't even see them.
Talk about how the regional meet works and who advances on from this weekend.
We have three conferences, the Northern Sun, the MIAA, and the Great American Conference. So those three conferences will all be competing, and every team is eligible to go. So there's, I think, over 40 teams in the whole region eligible, but I just got the list yesterday. There'll be 33 men's teams, or women's teams, and 24 men's teams there. So not every team chooses to go. Really, it's the teams that feel like they're going to be competitive, and it's, you know, it's going to be a good experience for them. So, and then from that, the top four teams on each side will qualify for the national championships, and the top three individuals not on those four teams will go.
Now, we've talked a lot this year with your team about Wick Cunningham and Ann Herbert. They've had a very successful year. Who are some of the other runners that maybe potentially could have a big meet for you this weekend?
Oh, I think there's a lot of people. On our men's side, I think Ryan Cox was an honor mention all-conference. And he's just now, I think, really kind of discovering what he's capable of at the longer distances. And, he's not a longer distance guy, in general, but he's kind of figuring out that he actually has a pretty good amount of talent and a pretty good amount of potential there. On our women's side, there's a number, but I think Samantha Lorenzo and Katie Bush and Jessica Johnson, I mean, I'm waiting for each or all three of them to just pop a really big one.
Is it possible? I mean, is it a bigger meet like this that may bring out the best in runners, or somebody that may be just waiting to take that next step?
I think so. That is true, because you get to this point of the year and you finish your conference championships, there's a little bit of I got nothing to lose kind of attitude with it. But the other thing I was talking to the team about this week is also because of that same reason we get to this time of the year, some of these teams are just done. Mentally, physically, they're just done. So, they'll show up, and so some teams that you think might be real or pretty good maybe just go backwards. And there's no way to tell who that's going to be until, you run. But that's kind of the way it is every year. So, telling them that and thinking, hey, there's a lot of possibility for movement. If, we run a good race, which I think we're really up for, we're not one of the teams that's done. We're really excited about this. I think we can do very, very well. And historically, we have had years where we finish higher at the region meet than we have at the conference meet, which makes no sense, but that's we've had that a few times.
Talk about the transition. Obviously, you're going from cross country, you've got indoor track and field, and I know we've talked earlier in the year that you kind of build for more than just the cross country season, that thing, but as a coaching staff, as athletes, how does the transition go into indoor season?
Well, first of all, our distance runners are going to get some time off right away, so that's the first thing. But they're not a lot of time, just really some time to kind of mentally and recover, and then we'll go back into more of a distance, high mileage phase through Christmas, and then we'll kind of really start attacking things for the track season after that. As far as the rest of the track program, they've been kind of building throughout the year, and they're just now starting to get kind of revved up. We're going to have a little one indoor meet before Christmas break, and just really get kids excited about the 5 weeks of break that they'll have to train on their own. So yeah, but they've been building up for that. So as the cross country team is going to go down a little bit, the rest of the track program is really just getting revved up.
And I would guess after this weekend, the cross country team will be excited about getting indoors, having a nice cold snowy meet this weekend.
Well, we don't go indoors for training.
Right.
So it'll be,
but
the two
distance
Saturdays.
Runners.
Yeah, the distance runners are pretty much, they'll be outside every day forever.
Yeah.
So, we'll get to compete, indoors when we get to our indoor meets. They'll be inside and get to wear shorts instead of, several layers.
Well, Coach, good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much.
That is Scott Lorick, cross-country coach at Northwest Missouri State. We've talked about how it is going to be a busy weekend. That includes both cross-country teams as they will be in action in Wayne, Nebraska as part of these NCAA regionals. And, John, that just, no pun intended, the tip of the iceberg how busy weekend it's going to be this weekend.
No doubt about it. We've got basketball starting things off tomorrow as the Northwest Missouri State men's team will start things with a 5 o'clock tip-off against William Jewell. We'll have that broadcast beginning at 4:40 with our pregame. Right after that, we'll send it to Bearcat Arena. The Northwest women are opening things up with William Jewell, and that will be a 7 o'clock tip-off. Both of those heard live along the Bearcat Radio Network and KXCV KRNW. Then on Saturday, busy day Saturday, Monday. Open things up with Bearcat football, Northwest and Minnesota Duluth. From Duluth, we might see an iceberg up that way. But 12 noon is Bearcat game day with our pregame. 1 o'clock is a kickoff. Webcast at 4 with the Northwest women as they will be facing, ironically enough, Minnesota Duluth at 4. And that can be heard on KXCV.org. And then after our Bearcat football broadcast, the Northwest men tip off at 5 with Rockhurst. So a lot of football and basketball along the network this weekend.
If you ask me, they should have just planned better and had Minnesota Duluth football team travel with the women down here to Maryville, played that game here, and maybe save some travel.
Yeah. But it makes a lot of sense to me.
They didn't ask either of us.
They never do. All right. Thanks to everyone involved with our broadcast here tonight at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Northwest men's basketball coach Ben McCollum, along with senior player Grant Kozad, Scott Lorick. We heard from defensive back Travis Manning as well, and Adam Dorrell, as we had a chance to record an interview with him earlier today. And again, as always, thanks to everyone here at Carson Sports Grill for all their help for the show each and every Thursday evening. Back again with another edition next Thursday. Well, probably not next Thursday. That's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'm going to be full of turkey.
Yeah. A couple weeks we'll be back here for more from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. For Matt, I'm John, and we'll be back again in a couple weeks.
You're listening to KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. We will now join a special thing from NPR as President Obama is going to give a speech on immigration.
From NPR News, this is special coverage as we await President Obama's speech where he will outline changes to immigration policy. I'm Melissa Block.